Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 18. I want to speak to you on the subject, forgiveness, the way to freedom. The devil is very crafty. He knows that if he can just get you off course just a little bit, he can destroy your life. And almost every person that's in this room today has something that they have had to forgive or that they need to forgive in their life. Amen? Now, that's a clue, because that's one of the strongholds that the devil uses to keep us burdened down. God said he came that we might have life, that we might have it more abundantly. And so we need to get in that abundant life and enjoy that abundant life that God has for us. And the way to do that is to tear down all those strongholds. For years, I thought that forgiveness was what the person that I was going to forgive needed. But I have found out I'm the one who's in prison when I don't forgive. Holding a grudge against somebody is like drinking poison and expecting your enemy to die. They don't even know what's going on. But whenever we forgive and we let it go, we have peace. What a wonderful thing God has done in training us to forgive all those that trespass against us. I want you to know he's not doing a favor to your enemy. He's doing a favor to you. He wants to set you free. Stand with me, if you will. In honor of God's word, let's read Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He said he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let's pray. Father, this morning we feel your Holy Spirit in this place. Lord, we know that you are moving in our midst. And Lord, I know that that is a wonderful opportunity for freedom to be found this morning. Lord, if there's one here that's never received Christ as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would put their trust in Jesus and that they might be saved. Lord, if there's one in bondage to unforgiveness, that you would set them free and break those bonds this morning. Whatever the needs are, Lord, I pray that you would just search our hearts, cause us to move from the life of struggle into the abundant life this morning. Search my heart, Lord. Remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me so that I might be your instrument this morning, that you might speak through me the words that we need to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Miss Brenda, I appreciate that song this morning because it's very true. We can't do anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And because of that truth, we need to find out what the devil is using in our lives to trip us up so that we don't go there anymore, so that we can be free from those things. And one of the biggest plagues in our life is unforgiveness. People do wrong. Amen. People will hurt you. People will say things that cut you to the quick. People will do things that cause you to just be burdened down. And all of those hurts have to be shed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing I want us to see is the debt that is dismissed. Here in this parable that Jesus uses to explain forgiveness, he starts with a debt that has been dismissed. Listen to verses 23 through 27. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain man which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. You know who he's talking about here? He's talking about me and you. The kingdom of heaven is entered into because the Lord forgives our debt. I got saved as a little boy, and I didn't realize what all God had forgiven me for. You see, Jesus knew all my sins that were going to come. And he forgave me for every one of them. He even forgave me for the ones that his grace has kept me from doing. He forgave me for all those sins. A debt that I could never repay. And he just said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. All the sins were washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that is a wonderful truth. You see, the only salvation that will work in this world is a free salvation where God saves sinners. Apart from Mary, we none of us deserve to go to heaven. Every one of us deserve to go to hell. But Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. He wiped the debt clean. And we now can go right into heaven because we're free. So he begins with that. Now notice here, the sinner. I want you to know, Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It was not the people that didn't realize they had a problem that could go to heaven. It was those who realized they needed a Savior. My prayer for the world today is that they will wake up and realize they need a Savior. We don't need a set of rules that we can't keep. We don't need an example we can't follow. What we need is a Savior that can take away our sins and set us free in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the salvation that works. Now look what he says here when he's talking about sinners. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now I want you to let this soak in. You see, we may say, I've got 42 sins that have been in my life that I need forgiveness for. God says, you have no idea. Though your sins be as scarlet. You know what he's talking about there? If you took a red dot on a white piece of paper, and God says, I want you to go up there and put all your sins on that white piece of paper, and you took those red dots and you put the ones that you're aware of on that thing, you wouldn't even come close. God says, though you put enough dots on that page with all your sins so that it is like scarlet, I can make them white as snow. Though they're red like crimson. The ideal here is that you take wool and you put it in red dye and you completely saturate that wool. He said, I can make it white as snow. I can wipe that out. I'm going to tell you, folks, that's shouting ground. God, who can only forgive 40 or 50 sins, can't take you to heaven. because you got way more than that charged to your account. Notice that the debt that he says this man had was an overwhelming debt. It was a debt that he could never pay the rest of his life. That's the reason his master said, let's just wipe it out. He'll never be able to pay it. Just wipe it out. People who think they've got to work their way to heaven have no idea what they're up against. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. But the Lord says, come, reason with me right now. Though your sins are like scarlet, I'll make them white. Though they're red like crimson, they'll be like wool. That's the Savior that we have. And I want you to know that is worth more than anything in the world. For the Lord to say, enter in, good and faithful servant. You say, but what if we're not faithful? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. That's the overcoming. Now let's look at the Savior. Isaiah 53, 6 through 11. All we like sheep have gone astray. That doesn't leave anybody out, does it? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 11 of Isaiah 53 is one of the most precious verses in the Bible, if you understand what he's saying. God the Father saw the suffering of Jesus, and his wrath was satisfied against me and against you, against all mankind. That's precious. Now, that's the Savior we're talking about. He has paid the debt. Listen, salvation is free to us. It was not free to Jesus. It cost Jesus his life. It cost Jesus his blood. And he paid that willingly. He said, nobody takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. You see, Jesus loves us. God the Father loves us. And he sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. That's the Jesus that has forgiven us of all of our sins. Now, the next thing I want you to see is the salvation itself. Look at Psalm 91, verse 1 through 6. The Lord puts these passages in his word to comfort us. Did you realize that? What do we have in our salvation? He says here, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You see, folks, that's what freedom is all about. God has set us free. We don't have to worry about anything. You say, well, what about all these things? God's got that. under absolute control. Now that is the wonderful forgiveness that God has for us. That's what God has done in completely discharging our debt. We are free. Nothing can ever be charged to our account again. David said, "Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin." Paul puts it like this, Romans chapter 7. "When I sin, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me." You see, there's a separation between the real me and the sinful nature that tries to crop its head up in my flesh. That's what God has done in my salvation and in your salvation. Now I want you to see here, he uses that as the basis of how we forgive. And then he moves on to the debt that is demanded from us to others. Look at verses 28 through 30. "But the same servant," that's you and me, "the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants that owed him." Now we can stop right there. No matter how much you think somebody owes you, if they owe you anything, you fall into this category. He says he owed him 100 pence. That's like a dollar. "And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.' His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' And he would not. Went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt." Now here's the way this works. We have this wonderful salvation. It's free to everybody. And then somebody does us wrong. No matter what the wrong is, they'll never catch up with what you've done to Jesus, what I've done to Jesus. It's just a drop in the bucket. He says, "Here's your debt that I forgave. Here's this little bitty thing over here that somebody did to you." Now, he says, you can hold a grudge. You can get angry. You can do whatever you want to do. You see, we're still free. The Lord does not force us to live holy. Amen. If he did, the world would be a different place. But we have to choose it. So when we have someone who does us wrong, it's not that they're not going to do us wrong. They will. People will do you wrong. People will say things about you that hurts. People will mistreat you. People that you trust will let you down. But in all of that, they will never, ever, ever come close to the debt that you've been forgiven. But when we do that, terrible things happen. In our minds, we throw them into prison, don't we? "I will never get over this. I will never forgive. I will never, ever, ever trust that person again." But you know who's inside? We lock the door, and we think we've got them in prison, but the cell is around us. We lock ourselves in thinking we've got them in prison now. And they go on about their merry way, and we hold on to the bars and suffer. Forgiveness does not let them off, let you out. And you've got the key. Listen to Luke 6, 27 through 29. God says that we have to deal with foes. The enemies that we have to deal with. This is what he says. Luke 6, 27 through 29. "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also." You see, the Lord is telling us how to live free. We must not lock ourselves in a cell when somebody does us wrong. He says, now there's going to be people who mistreat you. If somebody is your enemy, the way you overcome is you love your enemy. So how do you love your enemy? It's like Jesus loves you. You see, that enemy has a soul. And loving them is to pray for their best, to pray that they'll get saved, to pray that God will bless them. You say, why would I want my enemy to be blessed? Because that's what they need. You see, people are drowning in sin. Sin destroys everyone that gets into it. And when somebody falls into sin and does wrong, what they need is to be lifted up, not to be trampled down. And so we begin to pray for our enemies, and when we pray for our enemies, we find that we have unlocked the door to the cell and let ourselves out. That's the reason the Lord says, love your enemies. You can't afford to hate your enemies. Love them. Because when you love your enemies, you set yourself free. But then what about our friends? You know, there's one thing. We can forgive those that are out-and-out enemies easier than we can our friends. David talks about, he said, I could have understood if it was an enemy that did me wrong, but it was my faithful friend. We walked together to God's house together. We were in fellowship, and then he raised up his heel against me. You see, friends are more difficult to forgive. And family is the worst of all. We'll look at that in a minute. Psalm 41, 9 through 13. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Now look what he's saying. He said, my faithful friend has done me wrong, but I know that you've got me. And you're going to hold me up, and I'm going to be set free. And because of that, he rejoices in the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God. From everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. You see, it all depends not on what people does to us. This is important. Don't miss this. It's not important what people do to you. What is important is how you react to what people do to you. Folks, if we learn how to react properly, when we have people that we love that does us wrong, we will find a tremendous freedom, and we will be able to walk with the Lord no matter what happens in our life. And then when our family members give us problems, look back what Peter said at the first of our text. Then came Peter to him, Matthew 18, 21 through 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And before you get your calculator out and figure out that that's 490 times and start keeping score, let me tell you what he's talking about here. Seven is the number of completion. And the nation Israel, which this boy was an Israelite, the nation of Israel have 70 weeks in their history laid out in the book of Daniel. And what he's saying is, you forgive him forever. As long as you're on this planet, you forgive. That's important. You see, we are closer in close fellowship with our family than we are anybody else. You're going to get more offenses inside the family than you will outside the family. For several reasons. One is just because we're all in one place. And we have to interact all the time. And what somebody else does is going to affect you more than a neighbor, what they do. And so it's very important that we learn how to forgive our family members. And the Lord says, when you're dealing with families, the secret is to never keep score. You see, if you've got a big chalkboard and you say, okay, I'm gonna do this 492 times and that's all I'm doing, and you keep score, there's going to come a time when you finally say, that's it. But you see, God says, don't do that. You forgive and you forget it as far as keeping the record. I have talked to people in marriage counseling, and one thing I find is that people will keep a little file in their mind of all the things their spouse has ever done to them. Now, they may have said they forgave, but it's still on that list. And what happens is whenever they do something else, the whole list comes out. Now, this is number 5,241. And I'm going to forgive you, but it's going on the list. You see, there's no freedom in that. The freedom comes when you tear up the list. And you say, every time they do it, as far as you're concerned, first time. And that makes it easier. That's what Jesus is talking about. He says, till 70 times 7. You just keep on forgiving. Keep on forgetting. I'll tell you something else that helps with that. You got to understand you're going to make some mistakes too. You're going to do some wrong things too. And therefore, you want the same treatment from them as you're giving to them. So if you forgive and you wipe the slate clean, when you sin, it's easier for them to forgive and wipe the slate clean. And men, we're the leaders. It has to start with us. We cannot keep a list on our wives so that our wives then will learn from us how not to keep a list against us. Because we want to be set free, and we want them to be set free. I don't want my family members to be in prison because they've not learned from me how to forgive. Amen? Because if you teach your family members how to hold a grudge, by holding a grudge. See, more it's caught than taught. Say anything you want to. If you hold a grudge, that's what you're teaching. If you do that, you're going to have all your family members locked away in a prison of their own doing, and your leadership is going to fall apart. But if you teach your family how to forgive, you say, well, Brother Allen, if I do that and I wipe the slate clean, they're going to mistreat me. They're going to just keep on doing it and keep on doing it and keep on doing it. Well, let me tell you something. Nothing will draw a person to obedience to God more than seeing true forgiveness demonstrated. Mark that down. Whenever you demonstrate true forgiveness, and you wipe the slate clean, and your love does not change toward them at all whatsoever, they're going to learn from that. You see, our families are influenced tremendously by how we live. And the example that we live before our families is going to help them learn either how to hold a grudge or how to forgive completely. And whenever we do that, we're going to find that it is so much better in that relationship when there is nothing between us. There's no grudge there. There's nothing there to where we say, yeah, one more, you do that wrong one more time, and I'm going to shoot you. You know, you've got that always hanging over. One more time. I heard a story about a man that got married, and his wife, he got on this wagon, and they load everything they had on this old covered wagon. It's back in the horse and buggy days. They started riding out of town, and his horse just stopped. So he got off, and he walked around, looked the horse right in the eye, and he said, that's once. He went and got back up on the seat, took off. woman was impressed. She said, that was really a good way to handle that problem. So they rode on out a little further. Horse stopped again. He got off. He walked around, looked the horse right in the eye, and he said, that's wise. Got back up in his seat, took off. The woman was really getting impressed with his leadership abilities. So they got about 9 miles out of town, and the horse stopped again. The man got off. He walked around, looked the horse right in the eye. He said, that's three times. Pulled out his gun, shot the horse. Went, crawled back up in the seat and sat down. His wife said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. We're 9 miles from town. We got everything we own on this buggy, and you just shot the only thing that can pull this buggy. He looked her right in the eye and said, that's once. A lot of times, we try to deal with our problems that way, amen? We keep a score. And we got in the back of our mind one or two more times, and that's it. You know what? The devil will use that against you. The devil will just keep on fueling that fire as long as you keep that ember burning. God wants us to forgive and let it go. Now, I want you to see the debt's due now. What do we do if we don't forgive? What if we decide, like this man did, to just hold that grudge and shut ourselves in that prison and blame and blame and blame and be angry and easy to make mad, volatile all the time? What happens? Well, look what he says. Verse 31 through 35 of our text says, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now, the tormentors are all of the problems in life. Have you figured that out yet? Whenever you hold a grudge and you don't forgive, or you partially forgive, or you pretend to forgive, the tormentors are on your case. And they will wear you out. I've seen a lot of Christians fall off the path because they are not willing to forgive. One of the issues is time. I've seen people who hold a grudge so long they can't remember what the problem was. Hard to deal with that. I hate this person, but I don't remember why. I just know I hate them. Every time I see them, I get a knot in my stomach. How do you deal with that? You see, time in the wrong direction is not on your side. God says in Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Whenever we just keep on doing any sin over a long period of time, and holding a grudge, it seems to be the hardest thing not to hang on to. If we hold a grudge for a long period of time, things start getting heavy upon us. And God tries to drag us back. And he tries to turn us around. And he put roadblocks everywhere trying to get our attention. But if we don't forgive, finally, it's over. Time is not your friend. The Bible says that we're to redeem the time. It is high time that we wake up out of slumber. Over and over and over, God tries to put upon us the understanding that time is not your friend when you're out of God's will. The faster you can get back to God, the safer it is. Now let's look at the trouble. Hebrews 12, 14, 15. Follow peace with all men. That's forgiveness, folks. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You ever met a bitter person? Bitter people are like a cancer. Everybody they know is affected by it. Bitter people are a plague on a family, on a church, on everybody, on society. And they have a right in their own mind to be bitter. I deserve to be bitter. I've been mistreated. I've been done wrong. Drink the poison. You see, all of that destroys you, not your enemy. Now suppose we want to turn around. It may be this morning that you, I know everybody here has been affected by somebody doing them wrong. I know that. The devil's too good at what he does. You have been offended. Now, let's suppose that you've not been complete in your forgiveness. And there's still some people that you'd like to see a funeral for. And like a fellow told me in his church, he was having trouble in his church, he said, we're going to have revival after we have two more funerals. Whenever we have that kind of an attitude in our heart, we need desperately to turn around and go back to God. If you're here this morning and you've never forgiven somebody, and you're still in prison with the keys in your pocket, and you can get out anytime you want to, but you're dying there in that prison because of a broken fellowship, not only with you and that person, but between you and God. You can't have fellowship with God while you have a broken fellowship with somebody else. How do we go about that? Well, listen to Matthew 5, 22 through 26. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. That is to say they're a fool, by the way. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now the first, Raca, means silly. The other means an unbeliever. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto you, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Now I want you to know that the judge is Jesus. And if somebody has done you wrong and you don't forgive them, there's a space of time. He said, agree with your adversary while you're in the way with him, because you're going to run out of time. And when you do, he's going to turn you over to Jesus. He's going to throw you into prison with your keys in your pocket. And if you do not repent, it will destroy you. You see, he gives us a pathway, doesn't he? He says, here's what you do. You go to your brother, you go to your sister, you go to your friend, you go to your neighbor, whoever it is that has set you in this prison, and you make it right. They don't have to accept your apology or your forgiveness. That's not important. That's between them and God. What you have to do is go and forgive. Now, if it's something they've done to you, you can just forgive them. And it's good, after you forgive them, call them up and say, I want you to know I have forgiven you. There's nothing left of that. It's gone. And you do that not to get a response, because they may hurt your feelings again. But when they do, you realize the reason for that is because in everybody's mind there is on a little scale, and on this side there's blame, and on this side there's guilt. And they have the guilt against you, and then they have the blame for what you've done, and that kind of balances out in their mind. When you take away the guilt, the blame falls. And they're going to react. They don't like that. I'm not ready to forgive. I'm still going to hate. But you see, that don't come before you. That's their problem. You can just wipe the slate clean and say, you're free. And you restore that fellowship, and you take those keys out of your pocket, and you unlock that door, and you walk away free. I'll tell you something, folks. I love all of you. I love my family. But I love the Lord Jesus Christ more. And I don't want to be in prison. I do not want to hold a grudge. I want to unlock the door and walk away. You see, that's what forgiveness is for. God didn't tell us to forgive so that people can run over us. People told us to forgive so that when people do run over us, they can't put us in jail. They can't put us in the prison in our mind. We can still be free. Maybe this morning that you have never received Christ as your Savior. And there's all this guilt and all the sin that convicts you, and you don't know what to do about it. Let me tell you, Jesus said, if you will put your trust in what he did on the cross of Calvary, that he'll save you to the uttermost. Maybe you're here this morning and you have held a grudge for years. Maybe didn't even know that you were holding a grudge, but this morning the Holy Spirit has revealed to you that there's a grudge that you're holding. There's a hurt that you haven't turned loose. I want to invite you this morning to turn that loose. Take the keys out of your pocket, unlock that cell, and walk away. If you need to come to the altars to do that, the altars are open. If you want to do it right where you sit, the main thing is to do it. Don't leave here with an unforgiving spirit. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege of forgiving. Well, we don't have to get equity in our forgiveness. We don't have to have anything done to make us able to forgive, because you've done it all for us. Lord, we have a home in glory. This world is just temporary. As soon as we leave this world, we'll be in your presence. And Lord, because of that, because of the great debt that you have wrote off for us, and because you've promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us, so that we may boldly say, I will not fear what man can do to me. We have a freedom to forgive. And Lord, I pray that we would leave here, every one of us, completely clean of any kind of grudge or unforgiveness, that we might set the captives free so that we ourselves find ourselves on the outside of the cell, free to serve you in spirit and truth. Be with the soul that's nearest hell. If there's anyone here that is troubled in any way, Lord, bless them by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.